The book says, the history of the exegesis of the 70 weeks is the dismal swamp of Old Testament criticism. Went way back to Jerome. Now, Jerome lived from 347 to 420 A.D. So Jerome wrote these words over 1,500 years ago. And Jerome says, I realize that this question has been argued over in various ways by men of greatest learning, and that each of them has expressed his views according to the capacity of his own genius. And so, because it is unsafe to pass judgment upon the opinions of the great teachers of the church, and to set one above another, I shall simply repeat the view of each one and leave it to the reader's judgment as to whose explanation ought to be followed. He therewith gives 9 going interpretations of his day. And the more I read and read the godly men, very intelligent men, real scholars of the Hebrew language, who could dogmatically affirm a very intelligent position that diametrically would oppose all other positions, I came to the conclusion that it's really very, very foolish of us as Christians to divide over something that is very obviously difficult to come to a clear, concise opinion on. There are many other areas where we can be very clear and concise, where we have liberalism evidently on one side and fundamentalism on the other side, and we have no problem discerning where each camp lies. But you can hardly find 2 people that agree completely on Daniel chapter 9, no matter how long they've been fundamental. The proof of which we find that even when we get it down to quite narrow quarters, we have to divide up to pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib even. And we had people leave our mission over those issues. And the more I considered the individual circumstances, the more I felt that it was a matter of the attitudes of those who left more than the actual doctrines of those who left. And I think perhaps the best thing we can do tonight is just to go through these verses and see if we can determine exactly what is said, and see if we can arrive at Paul's injunction, let every man be persuaded in his own mind as to what he feels God is saying to Daniel here in this portion of Scripture. Now, you remember the first portion of this chapter. Daniel spent in prayer, and in verse 2, we're told what he was praying about. Verse 2, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So Daniel had in his mind that God was going to take 70 years to accomplish the desolation that he had intended to pour out upon the city of Jerusalem. And since the 70 years were about up, Daniel here was praying, Lord, isn't it about time now that we go back to Jerusalem? I don't know that Daniel was planning on going back. He was 81. But he was concerned about his city and his people, and he was interested here in knowing, and he was seeking God's face in prayer as to what was God's intention according to the scriptures that he was reading. And so here in verses 20 to 27, God tells Daniel, he gives him some additional information according to his question. Daniel here wanted to know about the 70 years and when they would end. And so God here begins to explain to Daniel about the 70 weeks. Isn't it interesting? Every time Daniel asks a question, he gets he gets himself in deeper. And so here we have in this portion then the 70 weeks. Daniel wanted to know when the 70 years would finish and when the desolations of Jerusalem would stop. And God says, Daniel, when the 70 years finish, the 70 weeks start, and that's more desolations. And so we have then in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Daniel is definitely praying here regarding the Jewish people and regarding the city of Jerusalem. And so the answer here is in accordance with that. This is talking about his people, the Jewish people, and the holy city, which would be the city of Jerusalem. And then notice that there are six things that are mentioned that are to be accomplished in this time. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. First three here then deal with sins and iniquity and transgression. How God is going to deal with that in His people. Then the second three, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Three positive things that are mentioned. Three things that God is going to deal with, and then three things that God is going to provide. And so these then are the aim of these 70 weeks that would be beginning. These are things that would be accomplished during that time. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, we have here a very clear statement that the beginning of this period of 70 weeks would be at the time of the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. And so if we were going to chart this then, we would say that the beginning of this starts with the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem. Rebuild Jerusalem. And the time element involved is, first of all, 7. And our text here says 7 weeks. Actually, in the Hebrew, it is 7 sevens. Now, we have to determine then, what do they mean by 7 sevens? It's not too likely that they mean 7 sevens of days. That would have been over too soon. We don't see how that could fit in. Not too likely that would mean 7 sevens of weeks. That also would have been a very short period of time for that kind of a prophecy. The next possibility would be 7 sevens of years. And that's the one that most of the commentators would agree on. If we were going to go by majority vote, I think we would probably get that most of them would say this would refer to years. Although some would say that the numbers don't mean anything at all. I have a hard time believing that. If God says that there's 7 sevens, and then there's 62 sevens, He had to have some reason for saying 7 and 62 rather than saying 5 and 34. There must be some serious meaning to these numbers. And so we have then this period, 7 weeks or 7 sevens, 7 weeks of years, 62 weeks or of years, if that's what they mean, as being the time then that begins with the building of Jerusalem and then is until Messiah the Prince, until Messiah. And so from the command to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, 7 sevens and 62 sevens. And some justification then is derived from this, from the fact that if we were to take our seven, if this does refer to a period of years, 7 plus 62 would be 69. And if it refers to periods of 7 years, then that would come out to be 483 years, which, with what we know of the historical data and juggling according to when the specific command was to rebuild Jerusalem and what part of the life of Christ, the Messiah, this would be, we can juggle them to come out close to 483 years, according to the facts that we have. And so that would give a sort of substantiation then to those that would feel that that would be the meaning of those time periods. Now, we're told then that this would be to Messiah the Prince, that the street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. And so we have from the rebuilding of Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince. Then verse 26, we are told, and after 62 weeks, after the 62-week period, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. We are told then that following these 62 weeks, after the 62 weeks, Messiah is cut off and the city and the temple destroyed. And that is said to happen after Messiah. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. It's been very obvious that, since Daniel mentioned at the beginning that this was going to be a period of 77s, and so far we only have 69, that there must be one more. And this is mentioned here then in verse 27. The 1 week, or one period of sevens, is mentioned. And following the chronology of the verse, then we'd have to put in here a period of 1 sevens, which, if we follow this chronology, would be one period of 7 years. That would give us then our total of our 70 years. The differences of opinion come in that, does this 1 week join to these 69 weeks, or is it separated because of this? Does the cutting off of the Messiah, the destruction of the city, take up a period of time then that would interfere and cause this 1 week to be postponed? The sacrifice is said to cease in the midst of that week. And so we have another event here then, at the midst, whether it's exactly the middle but or not, we don't know. But the sacrifice here then ceases. And as you read the various authors, you find a multitude of explanations as to who the he is and who the what the sacrifices are that are caused to cease and in what way they are caused to cease. We get to the end and we find that there are some words that are quite clear. We have consummation and desolation, which gives us a picture of how things at least are ending. As I read through these, of course my temptation, each one I read, was find out where he didn't fit in with where the other ones, the statements that the other ones made. I feel there are some things very basic. And many, many of the authors had fell into the trap of moving these verses around to make them fit their scheme. And they would come up with a beautiful little setup, but they would have to do it by moving the verses around, or saying that the numbers don't really mean anything, or giving some type of an explanation of a verse that the context of the portion just absolutely does not warrant. In fact, as I was reading through, one thing that interested me very much was, what were the various authors going to say about these 7 weeks? They had a lot of things to say. Almost all of them had something to say about the 69. And some of them even dared talk about the one. But the 7 week period, I couldn't find anybody that was even willing to be dogmatic. Because where do you fit that in? And yet, God must have had some reason for saying 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Why didn't he just say 69? And yet, even those that were very dogmatic about other things would admit that this one was a problem. What do you do with this? And so, that's one area that none of them could fit really well into their scheme of things. In fact, I couldn't find anybody that answered all of my questions, even the ones that I thought I agreed with. I couldn't find anybody that could really, without twisting verses, make all of these verses come out to be something, a scheme of interpretation. So then I said, well, Lord, what do you suppose Daniel understood when he read this? And as I went through it, I decided that Daniel would have gotten some good overall ideas. Daniel had an advantage. He lived before a lot of history went over the bridge or over the dam, under the bridge. And as a result, he didn't have nearly as much temptation to try and fit these things into a historical picture, because he didn't have that historical picture. And so, going back to where Daniel was, how did it look to him? And as Daniel looked at this, I'm sure the first thing he would have caught, as this was made known to him, since his question was, Lord, what about these 70 years of captivity? Are they about ready to end? And are thy people going back to Jerusalem? He would have caught very quickly then the statement in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. That one didn't get by him, I'm sure. And Daniel, as he heard that one, probably said amen, if he were a Baptist. This is what he wanted to know. Lord, are we getting back to Jerusalem? Isn't it time that this captivity come to an end? And so these words then would have been words of great encouragement to Daniel. God here repeats his promise that there's going to be a return to the holy city. I believe there's something else that would have encouraged Daniel as he heard this. As he heard the mention of the fact that there would be a period of time, I doubt that Daniel knew himself, had any inkling as to how long a period of time that would be. But Daniel found out here that in verse 25, after a period of time, a period of 7 sevens and 62 sevens, that Messiah the Prince would come. And of course, that was the desire of all the Jewish people, that the Messiah come. That would have been an encouragement to him. I'm sure also at the same time, there were some things in here that troubled him. The first thing that would have troubled him would be the words following Messiah the Prince. The Messiah the Prince in the following verse, verse 26, shall Messiah be cut off. Now, I don't know what Daniel thought as he heard that. It doesn't say that Messiah be sat on his throne, or that Messiah prosper and conquer, that Messiah be cut off. I wonder if Daniel had some real doubts about this. What does this mean? The logical thing in his mind would be, shall Messiah reign? What about this? How come? What is this that is going to happen to our Messiah? I'm sure that would have been of concern to him. I think the next thing that would have been of concern to Daniel would be the latter part of verse 26. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Oh no. One verse he tells me they're going to rebuild it, and the next verse he says they're going to destroy it again. Lord, what are you doing? I'm sure this was a very real concern to Daniel. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. They went through that just 70 years before. And here God says, I'm going to build it up and tear it down all over again. And I can imagine this was of great concern to Daniel. Then there's one more thing. Verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many, whoever that he is. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, unless we follow St. Augustine and spiritualize all of this, if we feel that these are things that mean something, if when God said, I'm going to rebuild Jerusalem, he meant he was going to rebuild it, and if he said, then it's going to be destroyed again, he meant it was going to be destroyed, then unless we start flipping these verses one ahead of the other and everything like that, which I don't agree with, that means that after it's destroyed, those sacrifices are going to start again, because he says he's going to cause them to cease. And so if words mean anything, that means that it's going to be built again, it's going to be destroyed again, and then it's got to be there again, because the offering, the sacrifice, and the oblation is going to be caused to cease. Now those are just the plain, ordinary lineup of words, taking them for what they say. And I think Daniel would have caught that. He was familiar enough with the sacrifices. I think Daniel would have caught that. Lord, what are you doing? You're going to build it? You're going to tear it down? You're going to build it again? You have to build it again if you're going to have sacrifices, and you have to have them if you're going to stop them. Well, let's look at our chart then. See how far we are. Here's where we started in Daniel 2. There's the general overall picture. Then we added to it Daniel 7. And let's see, that fits in right there. Add to it Daniel 7. And then we added to that Daniel 8. And we ran into a problem there, because we said, now, look at here, you've got this little horn, he persecutes the people of God. And here in Daniel 7 we have the same thing. This horn, he prevailed against the saints. We came to the conclusion, looks like we have kind of a double picture here. Here we have the persecution of God's people under this kingdom. This is where this should be, I'm sorry. Under the Grecian Empire, we have this little horn, the persecution of the saints. And here under the Roman Empire, the same thing, the little horn, the persecution of the saints. Looks like we just have a rerun. Almost the identical kind of opposition to the people of God and this proud leader, and yet they're very definitely under two periods of time. And so we have here then two different times in which God's people are persecuted. Now, here in chapter 9 then, we find that we have the same thing. We have almost like a rerun. We have the temple built, temple destroyed, and then there it is again. The same thing all over again. And chapter and verse 27 talks about abominations and consummations and the desolate and the same thing all over again. And it just seems like there is a constant doubling up in Scripture. But we can't say that those two agree with these two. Because very obviously, the first destruction was here under the Roman Empire with Titus. And so, for Daniel chapter 9 then, we would have the destruction and the rebuilding and the destruction here under the Roman Empire. And then after that, we find that somehow or other we have the temple all over again. Wherever we're going to put it, it follows, at least. And so, and under this, there's the ceasing of the sacrifices, the destruction, the desolation, and all of that. Just like here, and just like here. And so that means we have three times. Three times that the people of God are brought to a place of desolation. Here under Greece with the little horn there. Here under Rome with the horn coming up out of 10. Here under Rome with the rebuilding. The rebuilding was, of course, back here, but the destruction under Titus. And then following that, we have the temple again and the same picture of the people of God being persecuted. And so, if we take these things just as they come, we have three clear persecutions of God's people in our studies up to date. Now, you notice at the end of this chapter, we don't find Daniel getting sick or fainting or anything like he did in the previous chapters. I don't know if he was getting impervious to all this confusing information that he was getting, or if Daniel was just beginning to learn to hang on to that which was definite and sure. I think Daniel would have been getting the point by now that in these things, God has some very sure things, some very clear things, some very definite things. And maybe Daniel was learning to lay hold on those. And so Daniel, as he looked at this, said, "Well, Lord, you're doing it to me all over again. There's a lot here I don't understand. But I thank you that I know that Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt, that I know that the Messiah is going to come." And I'm sure as Daniel thought back over the previous visions, "I know what you told me once before, the very first interpretation. There are going to be these kingdoms, but the saints are going to reign." And so Daniel had three good things to hang on to. The Jerusalem would be rebuilt, the Messiah would come, and when it's all over, the saints are going to reign. We know that Daniel was still confused because chapter 10 begins with Daniel going on a three-week fast, determined to find out what these things mean. So between now and next Wednesday, we are going to have to go on a three-week fast if we want to find out what he found out. So we pray. Father, we thank you tonight that you give us some very clear things in Scripture to encourage our hearts. We thank you that we know very definitely that Christ has come. We thank you that we know that he is coming back again. We thank you that we know that we shall be with him. Father, we thank you that you have revealed also to us many other things, that many, many men of God recognize are a very difficult interpretation. So we pray that you would help us to trust thee for the things that are very clear, to lay hold upon thee for the facts that we know, and then to wait upon thee for that which is not clear, that you would show us from it that which is needful for us, that we might live a life that is pleasing to Thee and glorifying to Thy name. We'll praise Thee for this in Jesus' name. Amen.